Hey everybody, this is Stelly FD.
And this is Heaton Shaw.
And in today's episode of A Startup Chat, we're going to talk about how to do marketing against your competition.
I think we like talking about more than just sales and marketing.
We just want to bullshit and chat about business and life, and hopefully while we're doing that, provide a lot of value to people.
The world's best business podcast.
Oh, shit, we got it.
For people trying to get shit done.
Yeah. We don't want to give you feedback that's bullshit.
Yeah. We want you to do your best.
Or how to do whatever. I don't know how to even call it. I don't know if there's a real name for it. Competitive marketing. It basically.
Yeah.
Oh, go ahead. Maybe there is a name and you know it.
Yeah, I'd probably call it competitive marketing more than anything else.
So yeah. the idea of doing marketing that relates directly with your competition. So, you know, two examples would be creating SEO pages where you show your tool or your company versus your other. So if somebody types in, you know, your company name versus this other company name that you're competing with, your SEO page would show up and you would have some kind of comparative metrics or a spreadsheet that shows that your tool is better than theirs or whatever it is. Or if there's a big PR thing that's going on, they break some news, you do counter PR. That type of stuff. I don't even know how many more tactics there are, but yeah, competitive marketing. What is it? What tactics are there? What's good? What's bad? What has changed? I'd love to explore all this with you.
Yeah, I like your definition of just basically it's something where you're doing marketing and it's very related and relevant to your competition. Meaning, you know, there's so many ways to think about this. I love your idea of those landing pages that are SEO optimized. The reason that that exists, though, and the reason like this tactic even makes sense to talk about, in my opinion, would be because today, and even in the past, but more so today, the customer matters more than ever. Your product is likely not that unique on the surface. And so you have to do whatever you can to be able to explain to the market, the customer, how it's different and better for them. And better meaning better than any alternatives. So one way I think about competition a lot is competition is any alternative to your product. It doesn't have to be just a direct competitor. So if you're a SaaS tool that does analytics, it doesn't have to be another analytics tool. It can be a spreadsheet. It can be a database product. It can be a business intelligence product that's competing for the attention of your customer and their sort of patronage as a customer of yours. So to me, like any alternative is considered a competitor in my mind, any alternative to what you do for customers today. And that can broaden how we think about marketing. You're marketing against alternatives to help the customer understand how you're different.
I love that. And the first example that pops up in my mind, thank you for broadening the scope of this, is the spreadsheet example, right?
Yeah.
Spreadsheets are like basically a competition to almost every SaaS tool out there.
Yes.
And there are many companies, successful product companies that either have like these landing SEO pages that are like, you know, a better alternative to whatever bookkeeping than a spreadsheet or so they'll compare their tool with a spreadsheet, or even more so they'll come up with like spreadsheet templates that people and businesses today would want that use spreadsheets to do a certain thing that would then they would try to market to switch them from the spreadsheets to their software tool, right? So they'll give you a free spreadsheet template for accounting or whatever for restaurants, and then the restaurant will find that spreadsheet, download it to do their accounting, but now that company has their email, they'll start marketing to them, hey, if you're using a spreadsheet to do your accounting, we have built accounting software that's specifically for restaurant owners. This is better than a spreadsheet because XYZ. I've seen this like spreadsheet type of a thing a lot because a spreadsheet is, well, whiteboards and spreadsheets are still very high up in the list as competitors to almost any software tool that exists.
Yeah. So we're all, you know, competing against a spreadsheet. If you even talk to, let's just bring up an example of the business you're in. If you look at a CRM, it's so easy to build these CRMs, at least some sort of, these are my customers or these are my users or these are people I want to talk to and here's more characteristics about them. If you think about that, it's still being done in spreadsheets for so many use cases. And all CRM is taking that spreadsheet, that concept, and turning it into software that's supposedly easier to use. I'm sure yours is, but other ones aren't. Not to mention any, really large SaaS company names. And you wouldn't exist if they were doing a great job, right? I would say that I love that you mentioned that, because if you just think about that and you actually talk to your customers, you will learn what kind of alternatives there are to you. So to me, that points to, I think, a big strategy. And I think we can just bounce back and forth on this. But like for me, one big strategy of knowing when you should do competitive marketing is if you're talking to your customers and you just ask them, what did you do before you started using us? What would you use as an alternative to us? And questions along those lines, you will understand who or what they are doing that instead of you, who they're using or what they're doing instead of you, or would use instead of you. And that will help you really define when you should do competitive marketing and how you should think about it. So if they say we're using spreadsheets, then your alternatives and some of the ways, if most of your customers say that, we were using spreadsheets before you, we would use spreadsheets if you didn't exist. And here's why you're better than spreadsheets. If you hear that kind of thing, then you know that you can do competitive marketing against the spreadsheet. Now, the common scenario today, because there's so much effing SaaS out there, is that there is a likely SaaS competitor that they're going to mention. So usually something larger than you, some company larger than you, or even some alternative they know of. You're looking for the popular alternatives, and then you're looking to create these landing pages or mention these folks, these companies in your marketing if necessary. It's not unheard of now to mention competitors in your marketing, especially if you know your customers love you for specific reasons that go sort of against or is differentiated from what your competitor does.
I love that. So let's take that for a second, right? Let's take the example of, you hear what customers were doing before they find you and the reasons why they thought your solution was much better and much more valuable than the alternative they were using before. Let's say it's a specific competitor, another SaaS tool or another product. And you go, okay, we've identified a competition where the customer is leaving them to come to us and there's good reasons for that. What do you do? What are all your options to do now competitive marketing against that very specific targeted competitor?
Yeah, I think it's really, understanding very specifically, if you can, when somebody signs up for your product, not enough people do this, is to actually start asking them, whether it's on the signup forms or even in your sales process, what are you using today? And so I know this sounds like, oh, this is not marketing, but really, if you can figure that out early on in your sales process, or even if it's a self-service product, you'll at least have a framework of knowing what they're used to. So I think to me, a lot of the alternatives is more about what are they used to and how does that impact how you speak to them, how you talk to them, the copy you use, the features you suggest to them, and what you say about yourself, right? Like right now, like the way it works, if you look around the web, is that you can type in, for example, Intercom versus Zendesk in Google. You will see an Intercom ad. You might even see a Zendesk ad. You will also see Intercom's landing page on that first page. Well, guess what? When you click on that page, they already know you're comparing Zendesk and Intercom. So then they start really customizing their chat and pointing you to the right places as a result of where you came from. The same goes for like, Drift as an example. They have some pages because they're an Intercom competitor. If you type in Intercom versus Drift, you'll start seeing a Drift page, and it's all about like, the difference between Intercom and Drift. If you type in HubSpot versus Marketo, you'll start seeing this page. And actually the HubSpot versus Marketo one, the HubSpot page for it is some of my favorite ones, because what they do is they have higher ratings in some of the SaaS review sites. So they start inserting those ratings into that landing page. And they say, look, we're better than Marketo. Look at their ratings. Look at ours. Look what customers are saying. Don't believe us. Here's what customers say. So to me, when you can always get quotes or testimonials from customers about how much they love you better than what they were using before, that's some of the best marketing, especially if it's off of a third-party site or even your own quotes. And you can name the customer, their name, their title, and who they are. That's the most powerful thing, because essentially people want to know that there's people out there like them, including people that used to use alternatives that are now using you.
I love that. So So, you know, you want to know what tools and people and what alternatives people use before they come to you. You want to understand what they were doing and why they were switching, what the value proposition, the differentiation is from a customer point of view. And then you want to put together, a page that compares the two solutions and ideally uses third-party validation, testimonials, people's stories, but also especially if there's like rankings, awards, whatever else of credibility you can generate, articles that compare the two solutions and favor you, obviously. You do that. And I have the Marketo versus HubSpot site open, so I love that. And you can get people there through SEO and trying to create these pages that will organically rank or you can do paid ads. So when people type in either just the competitor name or that alternative name or the actual keyword of your solution versus the alternative solution, you can force yourself up. I just saw this. The HubSpot article actually is organically ranking number one, but Marketo is actually Marketo's ad is the number one spot. I think they even have the first and the second or something. So they're spending a ton of money to kind of counteract the fact that HubSpot has a very high organic ranking article on this. So you can do paid ads for it. You can and send them to those pages. You can do organic SEO if you can to send them to those pages. What other things can companies do, right? So obviously one potential today is to use social media, right? And look for people that are, you know, if you go to Facebook, people that are fans of that alternative, you know, if there's pages and groups that are associated with it, and try to advertise to those people. On Twitter, you might look for mentions of that company name and then interact individually with people that are talking about that alternative and pitch yours or try to be helpful. What have you seen work well within social media of being competitive versus maybe not so well, right? Because you get always and this is maybe a more general question, but when you do direct competitive marketing, there's opportunity, but there's also risk. And the risk seems to me to be that, you know, if you don't do it right, you might piss people off. And I'm not speaking about your competitor. I speak about your potential customers, right? If you're too aggressive, if somebody's, let's say, just tweeting, I love, you know, whatever, Marketo, and HubSpot's Twitter account just responds, yeah, but we're much better. Just sign up for us. That's going to actually be much worse than just a general marketing tweet, right? That might piss off some people. So I think two questions. One is like social media use in competitive marketing, but then also just like risks on what not to do when you do direct competitive marketing.
Don't be an asshole. Right? Like, don't use language where you're talking shit. And I see that happen and it's like, hey, like, don't talk shit. Now, the bigger interesting question is, what if your competitor's talking shit?
Right?
Then I think if you're not a shit talker, obviously some cultures are, some people are, go ahead and talk shit back. That's great. But I think the better way is taking the high ground and even communicating that, right? They will tell you lies. We won't. That's some of the most effective ways to like counteract that, just as a quick thought. To me, like, I think a lot of it has to do with what really got me and convinced me about competition. Cause I used to like just hate it and not want to talk about it or think about it. It would give me a lot of stress, in terms of like their marketing or their this or that. What really got me though is like the simple thing, which is like, you have to look at your market. What market are you in? Are there competitors? And what is the kind of norm in that market? Right now in the help desk customer support category, there are versus pages all over the place. Us versus them. And a lot of them are us versus Zendesk, to be honest. Because they've really, you know, they're a public company. They've proven the market out for this. You know, and I remember being in their office back in the day and talking to them about SEO and stuff like that. But like, you know, that was like many years ago when they first moved to the US because they started out in another country. And like, wow, like that company to me, has really like proven that there's a market here. So now everyone else is coming in and saying us versus them. I almost think I see more customer support help desk versus pages than I do CRM ones for some reason. Because it's just us versus Salesforce in most cases, right? That people put up. And that's not very powerful. That's not very effective because Salesforce does everything. So I think I would really look at the market and say, what are competitors doing? What is it? And then decide, hey, if there aren't a lot of versus pages, but your customer is using something else, you can be one of the first to put those pages up. And that's actually an advantage to you. If though your market isn't full of competitors, it's more full of alternatives like spreadsheets and manual work, then put up pages that speak to them, that say, today you're doing it like this. Guess what? You don't have to do it like this anymore. And honestly, like those were the first pages Intercom put up. Even today, their homepage still says, stop using all these tools. You can just use one, ours.
Mm.
Right? And so I think that there's a lot of strategies like that that I would suggest based, but all of it has to do with the market. So to me now, when we enter a market or when we're thinking about our own business and product, we start putting up these pages, one, if they already exist in the market, because we have no choice. We need to have those pages too, because it's likely our brand is mentioned on a competitor's site, right? That's not cool if we're not mentioning them too, because then we're losing out on that business that's on those people that are researching and comparing, which is ending up being a big core demographic of customers today, right? And then two, we do it in a market if the market is newer and we want to be the first to do it because there's enough competitors out there. And three, if there are no competitors out there, but there are alternatives, we would frame our whole business around the alternative and how we're better.
I love that. I'll give one example on the social media thing. So we're not like super big on using social media. And we're definitely not big on doing like competitive marketing on social media. But there were two examples where we did it. One successful, one not so successful. Once was when the successful one was when one of our direct competitors, kind of a newer startup in the early days of our existence, was purchased by a bigger competitor, and they decided to stop servicing clients outside of North America. There were a lot of these North American companies that were using that competitor that were complaining on social media, and we were just like pinging them and going, "Hey, it sucks. Sorry to hear that you have trouble. We have a lot of customers that are switching from them to us. We wanted to let you know. If you need any help with transitioning, let us know if we can do anything." And we were winning a bunch of business that way, right? Because again, we weren't assholes. We were like, hey, I get that this sucks. You have a tool, it's working, and now you can't use it anymore. You need to look for an alternative. We think we're a good alternative, and we're here for you. We're happy to help if we can. And we got a lot of business that way. That was kind of successful, a successful campaign. The not so successful campaign was a similar but different case where a competitor, although it was not as direct, and maybe that was the issue, not a lot of our customers were coming from them, but they were still kind of in our space. They switched management. It was not clear if the company would still exist or how much. There was some press and some unclarity about the future of that business. And we just put together like a landing page that was talking about like people switching to us. And we promoted it a little bit, but there was not a lot of like social media discussions around that, funny enough. And so we never got a lot of traction, a lot of traffic on that thing. And it never really converted much. So those are kind of two examples of when we use social media to do competitive marketing. But this is two examples in like 4 or 5 years. So we don't do it a lot. But once we saw these two opportunities, we jumped in there. Let me ask you about like the comparison tools, because that's a big thing in SaaS now, where competitive marketing is playing an interesting role. There's all these sites that allow customers that rank really highly and allow customers to compare tools in certain categories, especially in SaaS, right? And what's the big one? I'm missing the names right now, but there's like two or three really big ones where it's like customer research.
Like Capterra or G2 Crowd,
all those yeah. Right? They do rank really highly on a lot of like keyword searches, like CRM comparison, CRM best whatever. And then they have these like, we have all these customer reviews and we have these like landing pages where we as a third party provider show you which tool is better for what kind of use case. And what they incentivize you is to send a lot of your customers their way to write reviews on their side. But once you do that for a while, you realize, huh, shit, why are we still not ranking or being mentioned aggressively enough in a lot of these reports that rank really highly? And the reason for that is that they want you to pay money, right? They want you to basically advertise so all the reviews you've gotten are actually seen by people that search and you show up in their reports. Now, you can, you know, decide if you want to play that game or not, but if you're not, a lot of, I know for the CRM space for sure, a lot of our competitors are in those reports, are ranking really highly, although they have less five-star reviews than we have, even from people, because they pay a lot of advertising dollars to rank high. Have you seen a lot of SaaS tools use that? I've gotten mixed reviews. Some founders have told me that it was a total waste of money and time, and some investors actually told me that they don't do anything in the SaaS space if they don't spend a lot of money in there because there's a lot of leads and a lot of opportunities coming that way. Do you have any opinion on these kind of sites? Is it worth it or not, or how to play the game on these like comparison websites, review websites, basically?
Yeah, get your best customers to put reviews in. You know who your best customers are, and it's not cheating. If a customer loves you, they'll write a review for you. You don't have to do anything except ask them, right? And start incorporating that into your process. Hey, you know, we know you're getting a lot of value from our product. You've mentioned that to us. We'd love if you could review us on G2 Crowd. Please be honest and just be ready to deal with, you know, whatever that honesty is.
Fair enough. And I know in our case, what we do is like, I think once a customer has been around for 2 months and has given us a certain NPS score, we'll ask for referrals and we'll ask for a review on one of these sites and we get a good number of it. And then, you know, the funny thing is a lot of times you don't, like we, for instance, we were doing this, I don't even know if we still do, but we have a fair amount of good reviews, good meaning, high quality, authentic reviews on Quora for Close. And I know that for a while we were looking at the traffic and we're like, huh, this doesn't really do anything traffic-wise. This doesn't really bring lots of people. But then when we were talking to our trial users, we were asking them, how did you hear about us? One part of their search was seeing a positive review of us somewhere, right? It was not the thing that brought them to us, but it was a part of their search that convinced them later on to come and sign up. So it's an interesting observation that sometimes these review sites, they might not even directly bring you, or these reviews might not directly bring you traffic, so you can super easily attribute it to them bringing a trial, but people still see these reviews and it influences them trusting you and wanting to come and check out your software later. All right, I think we covered a bunch in terms of the competitive marketing space, like how to think about it, what kind of tactics to use. It's an interesting space, and I feel very similar to you, Heaton, just to share this with the listeners. You know, 4 years ago, I didn't want to do anything that was competitive marketing. I didn't want to think about the competition. I just wanted to think about my customer, do the marketing I want, build a product I want. And in today, that's still the majority of what I do, but we've talked about this before, and you've helped me see the light on this, on like seeing my competitors as another way to understand my customers better, and also seeing some trends in the market and what our customers do in terms of how they make decisions, where it's just dumb to ignore those out of stubbornness. And we're like, okay, if a lot of our customers are comparing, if a lot of these alternatives we see a lot of success with, we should exploit these. We should play in certain areas because it's what's going to help us acquire more of the right type of customers. All right, I think that's it from us for this episode.
Later.
Bye-bye.